Hello and welcome to another edition of the Sport Intern Special, a series of podcasts in which we speak to the movers and shakers within the Olympic movement. Now, recently, the states of Victoria in Australia and Alberta in Canada both withdrew their nominations for hosting the next editions of the Commonwealth Games. It's led to serious concerns about the future of these games. In this episode, I caught up with Christoph Duby, the International Olympic Committee's Olympic Games Executive Director, and asked him about his thoughts for the future of the Commonwealth Games.
See, Ashish, I think the point is not so much about the relevance of the Commonwealth, the countries, the links, the evolution. I think it's more about the opportunity cost and the debate regarding where you invest public money. And this is where we, as the IOC, we insist that the operations of the games have to pay for themselves with private revenues. You can always make the choice within a community to build a new road or a new stadium, for that matter, if it's relevant for a community long term, right? But when it comes to the event itself, that is the sporting event, it's a very strong point, I think, for the Olympic Games model that we can generate the revenue that pays for the operations from the opening of the Olympic Games to the closing of the Paralympics. Because there you cannot debate that any private investment, being from the Olympic movement in the property itself, 1.7, 1.8 billion in the case of Paris and LA, and then generating the revenue from the private sector, has a very positive effect in the economics of the hosting city and region. You know, when you look at some of the assumptions that were made at the time in Paris, and certainly for Milano and Cortina as well, you multiply our investment and what is generated by the OCOG by two, respectively about 8 to 9 billion, and this is the impact in the local economy for Paris and the region. This, in other words, is a great business where you're not calling for any subsidy for the event itself. Security being left aside, because that's a duty and responsibility for state, we cannot have that responsibility. So I think that opportunity cost is the main element that has changed over time, where there is a lot of tension because resources are scarce. And when you have to make the choice between a sporting event or an investment in a hospital or any other, there comes the real debate, which fortunately for the games, we do not have.
In terms of the Olympic Games, as you know, the structure and the revenue setup is completely different to anything else. You have the Future Host Commission, but are you a little bit concerned that you might be, even as organizers of the Olympics, coming up to a scenario where there are very limited options in terms of places around the world where even the Olympics can be held, because trying to find that balance between what is a net spend and what comes back in through stakeholders and through other contracts is becoming tighter and tighter?
I'm a firm believer that the economics of the games speak for themselves, and that the event is a good business no matter what, as long as the event pays for itself. Where I see a challenge though, and we see that for the Winter Games in particular, is the evolution of climate. And even for the Summer Games and the period of the Summer Games, there we are being challenged. Some region for the Summer Games would not currently, with the 6 weeks format that we have between mid-July and end of August, will not be able to host in the future. So you might have limitations with respect to the evolution of climate, of course, this is a rule we can change these 6 weeks, and we'll probably have to look into it in not so distant future. But for Winter Games, there it's even more acute. And if you project yourself up until 2050, out of all the hosts up until to date, you'll see that you'll have limited options for the future. Hence, this request from the executive board to look into the possibility to rotate in the future, because there, let's face it, a number of cities will simply not have the snow level and cannot justify to produce this amount of snow in warm conditions for the future. So that transition for the Winter Games is certainly very acute, and we are very aware of it. But again, those reasons are far away from the economics, which for me remains incredibly positive.
How much, though, are we moving away or looking at those sort of two different positions sort of squaring up and meeting at some point in the future? Because if we are beginning to start to consider that climate impact is happening now, and, you know, we saw it in Tokyo where the marathon had to be moved to another location, that there will come a point where the amount of revenues that are needed to offset the impact of climate crisis at a time, you know, say in the summer, for example, when the Olympics is taking place, is going to cause a problem.
Well, what is really interesting, if you take you're in England, if you take the games in London, they were amazing in 2012, and at the time I was the sport director. I was not in the position that I am today, but I could certainly have an understanding across the entire organization of the games. And what I would say, if you compare those in London and what we have in Paris to deal with, it's a far bigger plate, or I would say not bigger necessarily, but more sophisticated plate. I take one example: cybersecurity. Yes, we had cyber concerns at the time. Cyber is now mainstream of what our colleagues in technology have to deliver. And you multiply cyber by other example, sustainability, legacy, has become even more prominent. Sport itself, fields of play, sports presentation have become more sophisticated, but the resources are finite. And where I want to land is that you always have a finite amount of resource with additional constraints or additional requirements. And one of them is adapting to climate conditions. And within a budget of an organizing committee, now you have to have a contingency for extreme weather situation, and you simply have to build it in your operational budget. So I see two factors here. One is the adaptation in Paris, the way Tokyo had designed it, has a plan in the case of extreme weather. But then there will be in the future a discussion about where the games are located and whether in that period of time the impact of weather condition is such that you have either to change destination and make another choice, or change the period of the games and go later in the year where the conditions are more favorable.
Given that one of your concerns obviously is impact of climate for the Winter Games, and the IOC delayed its procedure to nominate a country for or a region for 2030, the news coming out from Switzerland suggesting that they would consider, you know, putting together a bid which involves the whole country, a very interesting scenario. How exciting is that as a concept when you look at a small country that has a lot of experience at putting together events of this nature? Actually, the whole country is open. You know, it's not just two or three regions or two or three countries together, but one whole nation.
But what is interesting, and that's not the Swiss speaking, but the person in my position, is that you look at the size of and the distribution of the games in Milano Cortina, and 4.5 hours to 5 hours is the time it takes to go from south to north. And this would be the amount of time to cover Switzerland. So I don't think it's too far away from what we have in Milano and Cortina with Lombardy and Venezia. What is interesting, though, is that the concept that we designed at the time in the context of Agenda 2020 is use what is existing over a given territory. And that makes sense for the Winter Games. It makes sense for summer as well, with Brisbane being split actually on the three different clusters. And that I think is a change of model, which gives hope to smaller countries or bigger regions to host an event without having to build and using existing capabilities, including organizing capabilities. Because what is interesting, being in Milano Cortina, the concept in Sweden, which would use Åre, Falun, Stockholm, same here in Switzerland and to some extent in France as well, is that not only you have the venues capability, so no need to build, but also the organizational capabilities, because they are hosting regularly World Cup, World Championships. And in those traditional winter countries, being in North America or across Europe and now parts of Asia, what is interesting in the concept of rotation is that you can constantly go back with major events. And in the end, the games are only coming into the cycle between other major events. So the effort of putting the games together will be lessened in the future than what it was in the past.
And as a final question, Christoph, and I'll leave you in peace after this, going back to, you know, the news that we got with the Commonwealth Games, is there a concern that you have that maybe looking ahead to the future, we might be getting down to a scenario where actually the really major events, a World Cup and Olympics, is what everyone is thinking that they can budget to host, and we might begin to see a loss of regional events, continental events. I mean, the Commonwealth Games doesn't really fit. It's not a European event. It's not a world event, but it's kind of its own entity. But we've seen that being impacted. Is there a concern that that could then affect into regions and we end up just with the massive global events?
You know, there would always be a concentration of resources in the properties that can generate the more bullseyes transaction. But at the same time, sport is much larger than only those that you see on TV screens and major platforms. And what is of interest is that you have passionate people being local or at international level that always find the resources to pull together what is not necessarily commercially viable, but that is able to mobilize the energies and the passions of a city, a region, being for a little local event or a much bigger one, such as the continental events. So I don't think we should look at it as something that is doomed for the future, not at all. There is one example now in Victoria, but there is space for sport which does not generate large sums of monies, as it is the case in culture or the event business, where you have some rock bands that would fill up stadiums for an entire year, but you have more confined classic music which are still subsidized and do make sense. There is space for both. So I'm very hopeful that this is one example, but it doesn't set a precedent for what would become a trend. Far from it. Sport is driven by passion, by positive energy, by people that find the resources.
Well, those were the thoughts there of Christoph Dubie, the IOC's Olympic Games Executive Director. Don't forget, you can stay up to date with all the latest from the world of Olympic sports by subscribing to the Sport Inter newsletter, produced every day, Monday to Friday. Until next time, stay safe.